On 36, 836. Everyone has it, 836 in the hymn books. It has two verses, so we sing the two verses as we open at this time. Let's stand together if you're able to. We seem to sing better when we stand, stand, and especially when we have a small number. Let us sing with all our might, giving glory to the Lord. He giveth more grace when the burdens go grace on. He sendeth more strength when the labor is few. He added affliction, he added his mercy to multiply trials, he multiply peace. His love has no limit, his grace has no measure, his love has no boundaries known unto men. For us the facing the night wishes and Jesus, he giveth and he giveth and giveth again. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed and the days have gone, when we reach his end of all resources, our Father forgiveth his only begun. His love no limit, his grace has no measure, his power has no boundaries known unto men. How the rich saints tonight riches in Jesus, he giveth and he giveth and giveth again. Amen. A good song for standing tonight. Remain standing for prayer. Father, we give you thanks tonight, Lord, for the day that you have given to us. This day, Lord, that we have sing praises to you, Lord, and lift up your holy name. And Father, we just thank you for tonight that you can, for each one who has come, and we ask you to bless this service tonight. Continue to bless us singing, that you, Lord, will be glorified in the song that we do sing. We pray for the ones tonight who are homesick and unable to come, that you be with them. To give them your comfort and your strength and your encouragement, Lord, to trust you and to rely upon you, dear God, for the strength we need for each moment. Guide us now to the service, Lord, and we give to you all glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Have we turn back in this hymn book to page number 62. This song we sing the first two verses and the last, and then we pass to the announcements. Page number 62, no silver, no gold, or coal.
No silver, no gold had obtained my redemption. No riches of earth could have saved my poor soul. The blood of the cross is my only redemption. Your death
Thou, my Savior, Thou makest me whole. I am redeemed, but not with silver. I am bought, but not with gold. But with the precious blood of Jesus, precious price of love untold. No silver, gold had obtained my redemption, the guilt on my just to every has grown. The blood of the cross is my only foundation. The death of my Savior could only atone. I am redeemed, but not with silver. I am bought, but not with gold. But with a price, the blood of Jesus, precious price of love untold. Number four, no crown of gold had obtained my redemption. The way into heaven could not be barred. The blood of the cross is my only foundation. The death of my Savior, the redemption has brought. I am redeemed, but not with silver. I am bought, but not with gold. But with a price, the blood of Jesus, precious price of love untold. Amen, a wonderful hymn. Reminds us the cross for your salvation and mine, the blood of Jesus Christ. At this time, we pause for the announcements. Then we come back to sing other songs or have testimonies and hear some reports from the program of yesterday that was attended.
Okay, amen. All right, does anyone need a bulletin? We'll be happy to get one to you. Does anyone need one? Okay, we just want to make an update. We're not going to have the church work day this Saturday. Just too much going on and not enough time to get ready for it. So we're going to postpone it till November, the church work day. So if you could pass that to anyone who you may have talked to this morning about that, we'll postpone that into November. So we can get the shed here ready to be assembled. That way we can do it all at once, take the things down from the attic on that Saturday, and take them out to the newly assembled shed rather than we can't do anything until we have that in place. All right, and just by way of other announcements, this coming Sunday is our third quarter business meeting, so please, all members, please bring a food item with you for this Sunday's business meeting. So that's this coming Sunday. Then we are collecting a care package for Brother Ethan and Brother Matthias, so if you can... anything you want to collect for them, we can put that under the table there as a token of our love and praying for them in their time of busyness of exams, etc. All right, any other announcements that need to be mentioned? Are there any other announcements?
Just to thank Harvest for the Harvest Party. Mr. Watkins usually takes care of the whole thing, but due to his health problems, we need to take up
the baton.
Thank you, Carrie. And think Harvest and bring harvesty type things to this this party that often tends to be a very good outreach for the Lord.
Yes, and let's invite our friends and neighbors. We'll try to get some flyers for next Sunday, so that way we can give out flyers that week for that harvest party. Anything else, Armani? No, not this Friday. The following Friday, the 26th. 6:30. 6:30 to 9. Yes. And do we have anyone that wants to work with the campfire to help? Okay, Karen? Great. All right, so that's wonderful. My daughter, Holly?
Oh, Elizabeth, Rachel.
Elizabeth? Elizabeth wants to help with the campfire, huh? Well, Mrs. Karen, Mrs. Tester will help with the campfire, and then if you want to help her, that's up to her to see if she needs help. All right.
Carry the big logs.
There we go. Okay.
And as you're thinking harvest, think campfire, and think of items that we'll need at that campfire. Large marshmallows for toasting, ingredients to make s'mores. Again, think along those lines.
Okay, so chocolate, Hershey's chocolate bars, marshmallows, and graham crackers. That's those would be great ingredients to bring. All right, any other announcements? Okay, Walter Williams, a commentator, says, an act that is inherently evil does not become moral simply because there's a majority consensus. A lot of the political correctness of today is, we're right because we have the most people in our opinion. Well, that's not how we decide right and wrong. It's moral because is it honoring God or not. And Thomas Jefferson, speaking of George Washington, he said, his integrity was most pure, his justice the most inflexible I have ever known. No motives of interest or consanguinity, of friendship or hatred, being able to bias his decision. Speaking of George Washington, he said he was indeed in every sense of the words a wise, a good, and a great man. Perhaps the strongest feature of his character was prudence, never acting until every circumstance, every consideration was maturely weighed, refraining if he saw a doubt, but when once decided, going through with his purpose, whatever obstacles opposed. They said that George Washington made a profession of faith when he was younger, and then he got baptized in a Baptist church in New York City. Pastor John Gano, who was a Baptist preacher, baptized him. And that would explain a lot about George Washington, about his character. He was a good first president, and he stepped down after his second term in office because he did not want the office to become a kingship. They wanted to make him king, but he said no. He said, it's time to leave. And he set the precedent for every president afterward. That's because George Washington was not in it for himself. He was only thinking of the good of the country. And he helped our new republic to become what it is today. And so let us pray for our leaders, pray for our president, pray for his advisors, pray for our Congress, that they would seek God in their decisions. At this time, we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord of our tithes and offerings to God this evening. And okay, let us bow together in prayer.
Dear Lord, thank you for the help and money about to see to lunch. This is my prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Sing the post verse of this next song. Then we open for testimonies. 874. Till the storm passes by. song, if you notice carefully, your song tonight is under the topic of grace.
One other thing, we're passing a card, a birthday card around for Patty. Her birthday was this past Friday, so everyone can write a note
down. Okay, everyone have that song, the page 876. Till the storm passes by. In this blue book is 876.
Yeah.
You have different types of books?
No, I'm sorry. It doesn't matter.
Okay. Alright, let's get ready. In the dark of the midnight, have I uphid my face? While the storm howls about me, and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds float forever. Oh, hold me fast, so let me stand in the hollows of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Let's sing number 3. When the long night has ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore. In the land where the tempest, never fails, let the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds the moon, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of your hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Amen. Who would like to be first tonight with a testimony? I know we're going to be having reports from the program yesterday, but where's our testimonies? All your reports. We can have starting off for the testimony tonight. Who'd like to be first? Yeah, a lot of people who have gone to the program yesterday, right? Okay. Someone can be forced in that area. Go ahead, Pastor.
Yes, it was a blessing to go to the music conference yesterday at Calvary. I would play for you a song that they taught us some new songs as well as some different things about song leading and what is behind good music. You might be able to hear it. That's one of the newer hymns. I think Pastor McMenamin wrote some of them, as well as some other songwriters. So it's very beautiful. So a lot of neat things. A lot of neat things at the conference. We really enjoyed it. And they also shared how music is not just a passive entertainment. The world looks at music as, you know, my preferences to put what I want into my head to be amusement. But actually music is the opposite of amusement. Amusement means means without musing. So amusement is without thinking. Well, so music is the opposite of amusement. It literally means to think. Mm-hmm. So our music should make us think about good things and godly things, and that's what our church music does. the world's music. They try to, you know, make people think about sensual things or amuse them. And so we see God made music for the purpose of language. It's giving a spoken word about God. And so it was a blessing to hear and be refreshed by the conference. And everyone in there says they're praying for Patty. So they wanted to share that with all of us, that their church is praying for our church and for Patty as well in her time.
Amen. Very good. Someone else with some more information or a testimony.
Gary. I didn't go yesterday, but I just want to thank everyone for all the beautiful surprise of today for our family, and for my husband, and the children, and all of us. And that was a lot of work that everybody put into that. I just want to thank everybody.
You're welcome. There's another opportunity you have to give some more compliments or to the pastor for this day that has been set aside for Appreciation Day. So those who haven't had an opportunity earlier today, you have it now. You can share that compliment to him. By that, you have that testimony, whichever. Anyone else? Go ahead, Carol.
I too went to the conference yesterday, as I was telling the choir, and learned a great deal. We had at least one time where we broke off into different classes, and the one I went to was actually for song leaders, but although I raised my hand and said I'm not a song leader, but I do direct the choir, and I was able to learn from Pastor Donnie the some better techniques in engaging the choir so that they're unified and dynamic. And that's my goal, to be prepared. I really was inspired, I guess is the best word, by not only him, but by Pastor Martin and I don't know his last name, but one of their song leaders named Nick. Just the way they bring the music to life. When the men sang, and I wanted to ask Pastor, but haven't had a chance to do it yet, they were so mellow, they were so together, and even at parts where they didn't have any music, I don't know if they got a better sound system or else they got, they do have beautiful voices, but there's something that we need to get better at. And so anyway, I was very, very thankful that I got to go, and of course it's always good to see people from sister churches of like faith who were there and who know what's going on at our church and care what's going on at our church. Not only Patty are they praying for, and many mentioned her, but they just mentioned our church and how at home they always feel when they come to visit at our church. And so they were thankful that we showed the effort to come up there, and they were praising the Lord for our church as well as for the conference that was being held yesterday.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, someone else with a report or complimentary pastor for appreciation this time. We celebrated his birthday and his anniversary and the daylight, so now we have the mic. Like I said, those who have not had an opportunity earlier this afternoon, you can take hold of it now to share your compliments to the pastor. All right, anyone else besides our testimony? Now let's have another song from your chorus book or the hymn books. Don't let the time go by use. Want to use it? All right, Holly, have a song.
It's 775.
Okay. 775. Our next song at this time. You sing one verse. We have 5 minutes yet left. 775.
Thank you.
Brothers, 775. Joy in my heart.
Joy, dung in my heart. Dung in my heart. Dung in my heart. I have no joy, joy, joy. Dung in my heart. Dung in my heart. To stay. I have a piece of past understanding. Dung in my heart. Dung in my heart. Dung in my heart, the peace that passes understanding. Dung in my heart, dung in my heart.
Let's sing another one.
I have a love of Jesus, love of dung in my heart, dung in my heart, dung in my heart. I have love of Jesus, for Jesus, dung in my heart.
Let's sing number four, because that seems to be doing.
For there is sung in my heart, sung in my heart, sung in my heart, sung in my heart, sung in my heart.
Amen. Now we have to get someone ready for a testimony, a song, whatever, another song. Oh, go ahead, Messiah, speak, tell us. You going to sing a solo? What's the name of your song? Can you tell us the number? Okay, what page is it?
812.
812. Okay, let's go to 812, and we sing that for a last song before we turn to what the pastor writes. And everyone seemed to be a little bit restrained from giving testimonies. Number 12, we sing the first verse and the chorus, and then we will be at the end of our song time and testimony.
I heard an old story of a Savior came from glory. Having given his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning and his precious blood that dawned. And then I fainted out of shame. I won no victory. No victory in Jesus, Savior. And bought me with his redeeming blood. I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory.
Let's sing the chorus one more time.
Oh,
the chorus.
Oh, Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. Amen. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. We turn the Psalms for the Pastor Rice at this time.
Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Revelation 16 tonight. Revelation 16. The reason why those six men were better than we're normally used to, they were singing four-part harmony. There was a soprano, alto, tenor, and a bass. That's one of the things I talked to Pastor Martin last year about, is we need to learn parts.
That's true, but they blended so well. I mean,
it's because they were singing four-part harmony, though, too. That's what makes a quartet a quartet. And so we're starting. We're adding tenor right now, and if we can add alto and bass, that's in time. But that'll come with practice and with patience, with time. But yes, they definitely, that's why they host the music conference, because they're very good at it. They have a lot of musically talented people who can play many different instruments. And so we're learning. We're learning from very good musicians and very trained ones as well. So we're getting there, little by little. Let's turn our Bible. Revelation 16. Our church has a lot of things we do well as well, such as teaching, such as the getting out there, knocking on doors, picking people up, encouraging others, our Sunday school teachers teaching, and our office staff is top notch. I know of no other church that has that we don't even need to do yearly audits because we have such a top-notch bookkeeping team. And that's a tribute to our church that we have a lot of things going for us as well. And so what a blessing. Yes, Armani, can you come and sit with your family, please, so that way? Yeah, we don't want her to feel disconnected. We want to connect her with the rest of us and to also keep any teens turn in your cell phones that way. That doesn't become a temptation or a distraction. Revelation 16, we're looking at, going back to a Revelation study, there's a lot of wonderful things here in the book of Revelation that we have been applying to our lives, and now we're picking it back up where we left off, and I believe the Lord has something for us tonight that we can apply this week to our lives. Revelation 16, and I think I have my notes are down there. Revelation 16, this is called the great chapter of the Bible. So the very first thing we'll do is we'll look why it's the great chapter of the Bible. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night tonight to study your word, to learn from it, to read it. Lord, we know that you have a special message for us through the book of prophecy, the book of Revelation, that Jesus said, blessed are they which read this book and seek to understand its prophecies. Lord, we pray that you would give us that special encouragement tonight and special blessings in our lives that we can then have the impetus to then teach it and to tell others about Jesus. And I pray you'd bless our time together tonight, that you'd fill me with thy spirit. You'd fill each one of us with your spirit, that we can be useful vessels for you, vessels meet and sanctified for the Master's use. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Revelation 16. Every time we get to it, the word, we're going to read it. Every time we get to the word great, what I want you to do is shout out great, and we're going to count how many times the word great is mentioned in this chapter. Okay, so let's go ahead and read. Whenever we get to great, shout it. Okay, let's give it a try. Revelation 16:1. And I heard a great, okay, underline it in your Bible, voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. And every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat. Great. Yeah, we missed it. Try it again, verse 9. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, It is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Thank you. How many greats do we have in this chapter? Okay, Zion? Oh, Zamora, sorry. Sorry, Zamora. 11 greats in this chapter. And so that's why this is called the great chapter of the Bible, because there's 11 great things in it. Now, two things were mentioned two times that they were great. So there's 9 great things in this chapter. Now, when we say great, doesn't necessarily mean great as in good, but great as in what? Big. Very big. Very large. Larger than mankind has ever seen before. Okay, and so let's look at this. It says, first we see, I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, Go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Who is the great voice out of the temple? God. Okay, God is speaking out of the temple. There we see where the voice is coming from the temple. That means that's God talking to who? To the seven angels. Okay, and saying to open the seven vials of God's wrath. Notice here, do the angels hesitate? Well, Lord, you don't know what you're going to... Do you understand, Lord, all these problems you're going to be bringing upon the tribulation earth? Do you see any back talk? Kids, do you see any back talk? No. What do the angels do that we as men and women not often do? Obey right away. Obey right away. Okay, this is what we need to do. Verse 2, and the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. There was no hesitation, as Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, that God's will be performed in heaven as it in on earth as it is in heaven. Notice the angels carry it out as soon as he says it. Okay, we need to do the same. We would be very wise to do the same. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image. Here we see this grievous sore upon all people. This is a plague of a repetition of the plague of boils that fell upon the Egyptians at the time of the Exodus. In Exodus chapter 9, verse 8 through 12, we see that was one of the plagues of the Exodus. I believe it was the ninth plague. And just a terrible, terrible plague. Or the sixth plague, I'm sorry. Or the seventh plague. That was a terrible plague. Why? Because it caused all these terrible raisings of the skin to literally be infected. And they would have to itch at them, and all the pus would come out, and just a very disgusting plague, and they hurt so much. Well, here, who was getting this grievous sore? What's that, Holly?
The devil.
Not the devil. All the people who what? Not everyone upon the earth. All those who had the mark of the beast. Remember, there's still always a remnant. Even during the tribulation, there's going to be a remnant of people who don't take the mark of the beast and are going to get saved. Because you have 144,000 Jewish witnesses prophesying during this time, witnessing, giving forth the gospel. So many people are going to run and hide. And even with technology as good as it is now, there's going to be setbacks in technology during the tribulation. Why is there going to be setbacks? Well, you'll see why there's going to be setbacks, even in the best technology. Verse 3, and the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. And every living soul died in the sea. Here we have plague, just like the first plague on the Nile River. This is a plague on the sea. That here we have the blood on the sea. Third part of the sea became blood, and it became the blood as of a dead man. That was what we read earlier in Revelation 8 through 9. Well, here, that was during the second trumpet judgment. Okay, but we're not in the trumpets anymore. We're now past the trumpet judgments, past the seal judgments. We're now in the vial judgments. This is the last phase, the six vial judgments. These are so awful. The seven vial judgments, they are so awful that literally the trumpet judgments pale in comparison to the scale of the vial judgments. Why? Because they are the great plagues. These are the worldwide catastrophic plagues. Okay, so here we see that the whole of the sea is affected. That there are many seas all over the earth. There are many oceans. That this is not just a small scale. This is a large scale blood that comes on this the waters. It becomes as the blood of a dead man. Okay, how many creatures can swim in thick? You know, how thick is blood? Okay, how thick is blood? Holly, very thick. How thick is water? It's thin, right? Blood is pretty, or water is pretty thin. Why? Because it's just hydrogen and two hydrogen, one oxygen molecule. Okay, so it's a thinner substance blood is much thicker. How many have seen someone, a bag of blood? Okay, or have you seen your own blood? Okay, John, have you ever gotten a transfusion before?
No, I've seen plenty of people have.
Okay, yes. Okay, Holly or Abigail just got a transfusion, and that bag was thick. You could not see through it. It was not transparent. Water is transparent. You can't see through blood. Why? Because it's so thick with the red blood cells. Okay, so here we see disgusting that the fish dies in the sea, and anyone swimming in the sea, when that happens, they're dead. They can't process that. They have to keep their body out of it, and it's too thick. Verse 4, and the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of water, and they became blood. So not only the seas, okay, there's a lot of seas all over the world. Well, now the rivers and the source of the rivers, the fountains of water, they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because Thou hast judged thus. So here we see, this is a repetition of the first Egyptian plague of Exodus 7, 19 to 24. When the waters of Egypt were turned to blood, all the fish died. But here nothing is said about the inhabitants of the rivers and ponds. But here we see that the rivers and the fountains. And so here we see, verse 6, for they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. Okay, so here we see these vile judgments are now being specifically pointed against what certain people? Yeah, these are being pointed against the wicked people who took the mark of the beast. Okay, we saw that from the first plague, or the first vial. And so, literally, God is taking vengeance because of what? Okay, because of disobedience, for taking the mark of the beast, for literally committing your soul to the devil, saying, the devil will take care of me. I don't care what happens to me. I'm gonna get taken care of by the devil. How many people are doing that today? They're for some money. Just give them some money, and they'll sell their soul. Well, guess what? Money is not the answer to everything in life. Money is very fleeting and can take wings at any time. So what happened earlier on in Christian history that now God is giving vengeance? Brother John? Oh, you were going to say something? No. Okay. Yes. The saints and prophets. What happened to the saints and prophets? Okay, the saints and the prophets through history have been killed specifically by the mark of the beast. All those killed by the Antichrist, killing the Christians as they're trying to flee, as they just get saved and they're trying to flee. He's going to go after them. He's going to go after Jewish people. He's going to go after any number, and he's going to try to kill them, and he's going to succeed in killing many, many of the 144,000. And as well, through history, all the different ones who have killed the prophets, all through Bible times, and all through you think of the New Testament saints. Jesus said he kept sending prophets and rising up early, and they would preach to people, and then what would happen to them? They would beat them, they would treat them badly, they would put them in prison. They put Jeremiah in prison for a year. They put Daniel, they were going to offer him to the lions. You know, all these men, they mistreated all through the years. Well, now it's coming back on the devil's crowd. It's coming back on them. You know, a lot of times we think, "Oh, I'm getting persecuted, and they're never gonna get what's coming to them." Why are Christians always get persecuted by unsaved people? Well, here we see God's justice comes. It may be delayed, but it comes. And here they're going to get what's coming to them in a very sore way. And God is always just and true and righteous. Okay, verse 8. No one can accuse God during the seven-year tribulation. No one's going to be able to accuse God and say, "Oh, you can't do that, God. That's not fair." Well, wait. What are they doing to him? They're trying to quench out any believers still. They're trying to just all-out war on God. So God is declaring all-out war on them. And they're not going to win that battle. Verse 8, "And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with," verse 9, "great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which had power of these plagues, that they repented not to give him glory." Here we see the great heat is upon the sun. Can you imagine God ignites the sun just a little bit hotter? Wow. What's that going to do to the earth? It's going to burn up certain parts. Wherever that sun is getting especially hot, will that direct radius or trajectory of the sun getting hot in that certain spot is going to just scorch whatever is in that line of the sun's rays. And so whole parts of the earth are going to get scorched. Now they're going to burn, but they're not necessarily going to die, but they're going to get a terrible, terrible sunburn like no one has ever seen before. A burn, literally a physical burn, not just a sunburn that's mild, but a physical burn. And how are they going to react? How do people react that have already sold their soul to the devil and literally there's no turning back? They don't react with repentance because they don't want they don't want to repent. They don't want to turn to God. They don't want God in their life. They say, "We hate God. We choose the devil. Let's take the Antichrist mark. Here's my wrist. Here's my hand. Here's my forehead. You put your mark in. Inject it, whatever it's going to be, whether it's going to be an injection of a little chip or whether it's going to be an actual stamp or whether it's going to be some new technology we don't have yet. Whatever it's going to be, it's going to be such that they're going to proudly take it and literally say, "I hate God. I hate Him." And so there will be no turning back for them. Anyone who takes the mark of the beast, as we read in earlier in our study in chapter 12, let's go back there, chapter 13. Chapter 13. And it says that those that take the mark of the beast in chapter 13, that anyone who takes his mark, that they literally are, there's no turning back from that point. That if they choose to accept the Antichrist rule in their life, that they are literally offering up their soul unto condemnation with the devil himself. That I can't find at the moment, but if anyone finds it, let me know. And so what a sad thing that now they are not going to be repenting. They're going to be blaspheming God because of the scorching heat. That they repented not to give him glory. That how sad that is. Let's go back to Revelation 16 and verse 10. "And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds." Right. Here now, right where the Antichrist sits on his throne, and he's mocking, of course, Jesus. He's trying to pretend he's like Jesus ruling the earth. But it's going to be a counterfeit throne, counterfeit and a mocking rule. Well, here now his kingdom's going to be full of darkness. So that city, probably Rome, he probably will set himself up there in Rome, which is the spiritual Babylon, as it says in Revelation 17, that part of the earth is going to be all dark. Can you imagine how effective will he be able to rule in darkness? Literally, no sun, no moon, nothing. No electric lights. The lights will be out. All the catastrophic things from before are going to take out the lights. So he will not have anything. And it says they'll be gnawing their tongues for pain. How gloomy that will be. Here the effect of the darkness was to make men gnaw their tongues for pain and for their sores. Remember, this immediately follows the plague of scorching heat, as if God, in mercy, would hide the sun whose rays had been so hard to bear. These rays are so hard to bear. We're getting burned up. So God takes away everything, takes away the sun that scorched them. So now they have the burns and they can't see anything, and they're gnawing on their tongues for pain. Why? What's that? Thank you. Revelation 14 what? 14:9? Okay, alright. Revelation 14:9-11. This is to help summarize what we've already learned in when we did this study earlier in the year. Revelation 14:9-11, we stopped it. I remember Sarah was here, and we stopped it about March. March is when we stopped the study. Verse 9, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand. Okay, so the same, it's equivalent. So if you take the Antichrist mark, you're worshiping the beast and his image. Verse 10, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Okay, so that's an encouragement to all who are living upon the earth during the seven-year tribulation. They're still going to have the Bible. And they're going to be reading these verses, and they're going to say, I better not take it. I don't want to take it. No matter what it costs me, I'm not going to take it. And they're going to have to flee. They're going to have to hide. Many of them are going to be found, and they're going to be dying. But it's better to die than to go to hell for all eternity and live for another year or two or three. Because at the end of the 7 years, they're not going to be living anymore. They're going to be sent to judgment. So better to die a couple years early than to stay alive if you're found and take the mark of the beast. Okay, and that's similar to people today that in other countries. You say, well, that sounds really harsh. Well, think about it. In China, if they find you and you're worshiping the Lord in a church that's not approved by the government, they can put you in prison. North Korea, if they find you. Vietnam, if they find you. North Vietnam, worshiping God, having a Bible, they will send you to the work camps where you will work until you're dead. Okay? So it's much like what many Christians are experiencing now in other countries, that at any moment they could get caught, sent away to these work camps where they're never heard from again, and they die terrible deaths. Yes. Asian people, there's different religions in the different nations. However, biblical Christianity is in all the nations. All the nations of the world, there's Christians. There's born-again Christians in every nation. Why? Because the gospel is around the world. Okay, so Vietnam, they preach communism. They teach communism. You have to worship the the dictator, whoever the dictator is, the communist dictator, and you have to do everything he says. And if you don't do everything he says, and if you don't follow the government line, they will find you out, and they will fine you or imprison you until you follow the government line. And if you don't, and if you get saved, if you trust the Lord as your Savior, and you start reading your Bible, and you start a church, if they find you, they will try to put you away in jail. But God has also helped many Christians to escape the country, too. Many of them escape up above Vietnam to the free nations, or down to low below Vietnam there, and to South Korea, and escape across the lines. So there are different ways that God protects His children all around the world and helps them to get refuge when they get saved and after they get saved. And then they then send the gospel in by radio, or they send the gospel in through different means, dropping these little USB flash drives and into the country all and spreading them out. And so anyone who gets the flash drive, they put it on their computer. Whoa, what's this? This is the gospel message. And so they cannot stop the gospel from coming to the citizens of these nations. So at any rate, the governments try to say, worship yourself. Worship us. Don't live for yourself, and don't think about God. Don't think about anything but just what we tell you to think. America is starting to when people are telling you, you need to listen to us no matter what, and if you say anything against political correctness or what we are saying, you're wrong, and how dare you even have the freedom to say that. When people start doing that, they're starting to pull away freedoms. Here in America, if you say anything against what the political correct line is, there's a girl who was reading her Bible during study hall here in New Jersey, and a teacher saw that, and that teacher got that girl suspended because she was reading her Bible. Of course, now if you look to the Constitution, you see that girl has the freedom to read the Bible. And so they could fight that in court, but that happened recently. And I don't know why they didn't fight it in court. They would have won easily. But this is what America is becoming if we follow the politically correct line of what many news organizations are saying. Oh, you can't wear a shirt that has a cross on it. That's offensive. Offensive to who? It's free speech, you know? That here's the thing. That what is offensive, they are telling us what is offensive. What is offensive? The gospel message is offensive. They're telling us that Jesus is offensive. Why? Because Jesus convicts. The message of Jesus convicts and shows them for what they're doing, which is sin. They love sin. And wherever this has been said by many different people, in a society where homosexuality and lesbianism is promoted or allowed to be out in public, Christianity is gonna be repressed. Christianity and biblical Christianity is going to be pushed to the side, and free speech will leave. Okay, and we're starting to see that. We're starting to see free speech starting to leave certain segments of the United States. Why? Because this political agenda to silence Christians. So let's not buy into it, and let's not let them get into our mind and say, "Oh, I can't do that," and don't support them. Okay. As we go to the election booth this November, look at the candidates, figure out which ones are supporting homosexuality and lesbianism, which ones are promoting it, because then you know which side not to vote for them. Go to the other side. The ones who support lesbianism and homosexuality, by the way, they're the same that support abortion, the killing of babies. The same who support political correctness and suppressing free speech. Okay? There's an agenda that they are not telling you about. The agenda is, you better follow the party line or else. Okay? And it's a form of slavery. When they say, you've got to follow whatever we say or else. Well, what if I don't agree with it? Doesn't matter. That's what communist nations are doing now. They're saying, Don't think about what we're doing. You better just follow us if you want your money. You know? That is a form of oppression. That's what the Antichrist is going to be doing. He's going to say, oh, if you want your money, you better take the mark of the beast. Take the mark of the beast. Okay, so this is why we as Christians, we need to wake up and say, wait, let's think this out. Where is this going to lead to if I follow what they're telling me? If we support a candidate that supports homosexuality, lesbianism, abortion, sodomy, drugs, free marijuana, marijuana legalized, sports betting legalized, all these things. Well, let's connect the dots. Where is this going? It's going to everything what the Bible stands against. So let's connect the dots and say, wait, I'm not going to listen to what they're telling me because it goes against the Word of God. And it's a form of control. They're trying to control us because they want to take away our free speech. Okay, so coming back to Revelation 16, as we close this chapter, verse 12, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. The Euphrates River is a barrier. It's a natural barrier from what to what? Does anybody know? It's a natural land barrier from where to where? If you have maps in the back of your Bible, you might have a large enough map. But my maps don't cover that great of it. Here we go. If you have a map of the Fertile Crescent, the migratory map of Abraham, you'll see the Mediterranean Sea over here. You'll see the Israel over here, and then the Euphrates River literally runs all the way from India all the way up to right above to Turkey. So from India to Turkey, this natural land barrier, the Euphrates River, disconnects the west from the east. Okay, the west is India, China, Japan, those regions. How many people live in India and China alone? That's most of the population of the world. You realize there's like 3 billion in India and China alone. 2 to 3 billion. So that's where most of the world's populations are. They can't get over to Israel because of that natural barrier of the Euphrates River. What happens if that river gets dried up? They can cross. They can come over. Sure enough, that's what God is going to do. He's going to dry up that Euphrates River. So now, and all of its deltas there, and so that literally they will be able to cross that and come on foot. You say, why can't they drive? Why can't they fly planes to carry all those infantry troops? Remember, technology will be decimated at this point. A lot of things are going to be decimated. Through the seven trumpet judgments, the bowl judgments, and now the vial judgments. So literally, there's going to be a lot of things that aren't going to be like we have today. Okay, so imagine a world that's vastly different from what we have with technology, machines, and all those things. And so they're going to have to come over on foot, and they are going to come over. They're going to come over either on foot or they're going to come over in vehicles. They're going to come over because now the way has been prepared. Verse 13, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world. and to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Okay, so literally God is setting everything up for the last battle of the seven-year tribulation, the battle around the Valley of Megiddo. He's setting it all up that everyone will be able to come for this final world battle. Not the final one, because then there's one at the end of the millennium as well, but for the Armageddon battle. Verse 15, Jesus adds in a note here. How many have a red letter Bible? Do you have a red letter Bible? Okay, what is What is red in chapter 16? What? Yes, exactly. Red letter Bible. If you have a red letter Bible, you'll see verse 15 is red letter. So here, Jesus now interjects. He gives his another invitation. He says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." Here Jesus adds in a quick note. He says, listen, don't fall for it. Don't fall for what they're planning. Don't take the mark of the beast, or else you'll be part and parcel with this crew that's going to come over and try to attack Israel, attack God's people. You know, don't be part and parcel, because you're going to be the one of the ones destroyed. Instead, keep your garments. What does that mean? Keep your garments. What's that? Okay, salvation, yes. Okay, one who does not take the mark of the beast and instead trusts Christ as Savior and watcheth. Okay, literally, those who watch and say, Lord, you're coming back. Lord, be with me. Help me to flee. Help me to obey your will. So literally, those who are fleeing, trying to get out of the way of the Antichrist, he's not taking his mark, that God will help them. He will help them watch. He'll help them stay alive. He'll help them to keep their garments. In other words, they'll stay pure, not go along with the world system, because everything is lining up for that final battle. And that's the same thing we need today. We need to take stock of this. How are we keeping our garments? Are we getting them stained and dirty in the world? Are we getting them filthy with worldliness? You know, are they like this cloth here? That, you know, we had a white dress on. I had a white suit on, but, you know, I kind of hanging out with the wrong friends and saying the wrong things and watching TV shows that are putrid and filthy. Well, my garment got stained. It's very worldly and it's spotted. Okay? That we here Jesus says, that keep your garments. Watch. Don't let them get stained by the world. We want to keep ourselves pure for God, to stay set apart. And he gathered them together in the place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Okay, so here who seduced them, all the kingdoms of the world, to gather together in the valley of Megiddo? Satan. Through the Antichrist, through the false prophet. Remember when the lying spirits spoke up? Remember the whole situation with Micaiah the prophet? Micaiah the prophet, he wasn't sent for. King Ahab said, "Hey, who will you prophets tell me what's going to happen tomorrow? What did God tell you?" And one of the prophets stepped forward and said, "Oh, King Ahab, God told me, Jehovah told me that you're going to go into battle tomorrow and you're going to defeat the enemy and you're going to win and you're going to be victorious and you'll crush the enemy." And then Jehoshaphat said, "Is there no prophet of God here?" And King Ahab said, "Oh, don't even ask me about a prophet of God. I don't want to hear them." And he said, "Come on, who's a prophet of God?" And King Ahab said, "Well, that Micaiah prophet, I hate him. He always tells me what I don't want to hear." "Yeah, send for him. He'll definitely have the words of God." So he sends for Micaiah, and Micaiah says, "Yeah, King Ahab, you'll go into battle. You'll win tomorrow." The end. "Can I go now?" And King Ahab says, "What's wrong with you, Micaiah? Why aren't you telling me the truth?" He said, "Wait, every time I tell you the truth, you hate me, throw me in prison, you beat me, you do whatever else." You know, he tells them what he wants to hear this time. You know, how many preachers are doing that today? They're just telling everybody what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear. And so Micaiah said, I saw what happened. The Lord was up in heaven." And he said, who will go and seduce Ahab to go into battle tomorrow?" And one of the lying spirits rose up and said, "I will." And so God put the lying spirit in the mouth of all the prophets. And they have told you lying a lying fib. Why? Because God has issued judgment upon you. He said, tomorrow you'll be a dead man. He said, tomorrow, if you live through tomorrow, God has not spoken by me. But mark it down, you will die tomorrow, King Ahab. And so sure enough, that lying spirit that God allowed to go into the mouth of his prophets, that's like the unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the Antichrist, the devil himself, the dragon. Who is the dragon? The devil. Who's controlling the who? And out of the mouth of the beasts, that's the Antichrist, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Here we have the unholy Trinity. The unholy Trinity, the dragon, the devil, the Antichrist, the beast, and the false prophet. They are trying to mimic God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. See, the devil always tries to counterfeit what God does perfectly. And so here we have these spirits like frogs, guttural, you know, what does the frog sound like when it... Ribbit, ribbit. It sounds very guttural and very, very, just not a nice sound to hear. Well, that's exactly how Satan is. Satan tells these lies, and it's just very seducing, very wicked. And so he's seducing all the kings of the earth, all the presidents, all the world leaders to come together against God and fight Israel. And a lot of nations already are on board with that, by the way. A lot of nations, the Palestinians, a lot of the Muslim countries, a lot of the China, you know. A lot of the nations hate the Arabs. They hate Israel with a passion. They'd go for it right now. But we're gonna see a change on a wide, worldwide scale that all the nations are going to come against Israel. Verse 17, and the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice, once again, God, out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nation fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island was fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent or 100 pounds. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Here we see such an earthquake that's going to destroy the great city, which is Jerusalem. Jerusalem's going to be divided into three parts. And the cities of the nations are going to fall. And every island's going to flee away. Can you imagine what an earthquake that's literally going to just rip across the earth and literally make islands under the sea. Literally push the islands under the sea. They're literally the ripple of the land buckling up and going back down. It's going to cause such a great thing that that mountains will not be found. They'll be leveled. And then a 100-pound hail is going to come out of heaven. Can you imagine? So here we see the great plagues at the end here. We are out of time. We don't have time to finish this. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time tonight to look into your word, to be reminded of the fact that we are your children and that you are taking care of us even as we speak, that you are watching over us, you're providing our needs, you're helping us on a daily basis to live for you. Lord, help us to keep our garments pure and spotless in this church age in which we live. Lord, help us not to follow the worldly line, but help us to follow you. Help us to be discerning as we look at what's happening on the news and what's happening around the world and here in our country, how men and women are just rising up in total rebellion against you and against your order. Lord, help us to be discerning who we vote for, what they support, what they stand for, that we would trace the lines of the money, that we trace the lines of the anger and the hypocrisy, as well as the trace the lines of the violence, and we'd see which side to vote for, Lord, that we would be discerning. We know there is no perfect politician by any means, but we know there is a side that is going your way and one that is going the complete opposite way. Lord, help us to be discerning regarding these things, and we pray about it as the November elections come up quickly. We pray you'd bless and guide our night tonight, that you'd help us to evaluate and examine our own hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn in our hymn books as we close this service. Number 711. 711, let's all stand together as we think on when Jesus comes back, when He comes back. If the rapture were to happen tonight, would you be ready? Would you say, yes, Lord, I have my sins confessed. Yes, Lord, I'm living for You wholly and fully. Or is there sin in your life? If there is, would you come and confess it tonight? Or kneel at your seat there? And just say a prayer to God, a confession, so that when He comes, we can be ready for Him. When He cometh, when He cometh,
okay. All right. Let us close in prayer at this time. Brother Bob, would you please close?
Father God, Lord, we thank You for giving us a graphic rundown of exactly what the events are going to be at the closing times when You move in and get rid of these evil weevils that seem to be consuming everything. Lord, we know that given the choice, it really seems like the world would opt to follow the devil and be cajoled into his way of thinking, or at least his presentation of the fact is given. We just know, Lord, that this is characteristic of us, and this is the message that we need to get out, that these things are coming, that the proof is positive, and nobody will escape from it. So there'll be no double talking or double mindedness will fly here. We just thank You, Lord, that we can be active in these end times. And more than that, Lord, that you give us the power of your truth through these times, that when the liars come out and assail us for what we believe in, we can straighten them out right where they stand. We just ask, Lord, that you would give us the strength and the courage to present your truth, because that is how battle is conducted in your army. Simply state the scriptural truth and the battle is over. We just thank you, Lord, that you have given us this, and thank you that you have selected us to be your saints and your believers. And we just ask, Lord, that you would continue to give us the strength for each and everything that needs to be done, because we know that these are really scary times and mistakes cannot be tolerated. We just pray that you would guide and direct each of us, and that you would turn us loose once again on the world, that we might be able to, perhaps in a quiet word of assurance, to let people know what the actual story really is, and send them to the portion of your scripture that lays it out in technicolor and four dimension there. And we just pray that you would continue to allow us to be useful to you in these closing times, because you do state in your word that we should not be scared, but that in fact, in the face of all this coming at us, that we will do exploits. We just pray that we might be able to mount an expedition for you that caused you great honor and great glory. And we just ask that you would continue to uphold us as we would seek to go forward for you. Just pray this night for the goodies that are left next door. We just pray that we'd be able to consume them, and that they would be able to be of use to us to maintain our bodies strong so that we can continue to glorify you. And we just pray that you would continue to work in our lives. And we just thank you so much for this. For it's in Christ's name we thank you. Amen. Thank you.